You know, Worldview Warriors has equipped me, you know, with every tool I need. And just to get out there, you know, and speak the name of Jesus, to do it in confidence and in truth and in greatest of all, in love. I just can't even thank Worldview Warriors enough for all that they've given to me and all the blessings that that they've put in my life.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
I'm sitting down with a good friend of mine, Erica Whitseth. She's actually from Benson, Minnesota, but now she lives in Willmar, Minnesota, going to school. And, well, welcome to the show. We'll start there. Erica.
Hi there. I am 19 years old, and I'm doing an internship at Youth for Christ. And, yeah.
Well, that's a good place to start. So the reason I wanted to interview you is because you have been pretty outspoken about your faith. Not just with words, but your actions speak too. Can you share a little bit of how you got to that point? Because people your age sometimes aren't so bold with their faith. So how has this process worked for you? Have you always been on fire for Jesus?
Well, it first started with me like being a fan for Jesus. You can know who Jesus is and know everything about him, but you don't actually know exactly who he is personally. And so that's where I started. I was always known as a Jesus freak, but it wasn't the way internally. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't have a personal relationship with him, but I could tell you everything about the Bible. And then one day God just got a hold of me actually on a missions trip and was just like, you know what? I want this personal relationship with you. I don't want you to fake anything. And so I had to lay down my pride. I had an argument with God, and he just was like, really? Come on. I just want a personal relationship with you. And so I decided, you know what? I'm all in. There's no other way than Jesus. Like, there's nothing worth more than just running at Jesus. I've tried to do the whole, run after, see if I can get attention from guys, see if I can get attention from my friends, seeing if I can just win approval with my grades. But there's nothing better than the relationship with God, because it's not about being perfect. It's about who God is. It's nothing about you. It's nothing. When you surrender, it's all about him. It's all about saying, okay, God, I choose your way, not my own. And so it's an interesting and it's a fun, it's crazy process of just laying down your life daily and momently.
I think that's awesome. Now, when you started that, how old were you?
What do you mean by?
Well, what I mean, started the actual relationship with Jesus.
I was in 10th grade, so I was 16 years old.
And you're 19 now. So you've been on fire in a relationship, Holy Spirit filled, whatever you want to call it, for 3 years now.
Yeah, that's true.
So with that, now you move forward and your friends were absolutely loving it.
Well, the fun part about my friends is a lot of it was flying solo. I had acquaintances. But it wasn't like at first I had a group of friends that held me up. It's really important to surround yourself by people that are like-minded in the manner of wanting the same goals, wanting to run after Christ. I heard the saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And like that was so true. A lot of times at my school, I didn't have very many friends. I hung out with people, but I couldn't say that they really knew me. They knew that I loved Jesus, but it just wasn't the way that friends can open up to each other. And then I joined a group called On Call, which is a singing group. And they just loved Jesus. We spurred each other on, and we had Bible studies together. And a lot of my favorite parts were when we fellowshipped, when we ate together, when we talked about, like, what is God doing in your life? And it's, like I said, it was it's all about Jesus. And so even just talking about him, like, it's so beautiful just to come together in fellowship. So in one way, it depends on where you think, where you say I was physically, where my friends were. At my school, I didn't have very many friends, but at my singing group, they knew me. They knew me inside and out, and it was really cool.
Now, so when you say you decided to follow Christ fully, so is it fair to say you might have lost some friends at all, or not really?
The fun part is I've always been a solo person, so I didn't really have... I could say that I didn't really lose friends because I didn't really have very many friends. I had people that wanted to hang out with me and everything, but they're acquaintances, so I didn't lose them, but it just... I feel like people were more hesitant about being my friend because they felt like I was going to preach to them. And I never really preached a lot of Jesus with my words, but with my actions. And I feel like that intimidated them and wanted them to step back a little bit and just watch. And so it's a lot of you choosing to be a follower of Christ, not you and your friends. And so... I do believe that you need to make a choice. Sometimes it's a you jump into it, or it's a gradual. Like, either or, is there's nothing wrong with either. But yeah.
And what are you reading right now in the Bible?
Well, right now, I got challenged the other day to read 1 Corinthians 13 and to really soak it up.
Gee, that's cool.
Yeah, but it right now, I'm taking it bit by bit. It's a lot of... I don't have a lot of time right now, so I'm trying to, as much time as I can, just get in the Word. Even if it is soaking up one verse, I'm going through this book called Jesus is Calling, and it's a book like... they rephrase these verses into the way of Jesus speaking to you, and then you look up the verses and read them and just soak them up. So it's all, but it's hard. It's hard to even do a couple of verses a day to really just like sit when your life is so hectic. And sometimes you just have to tell yourself to stop everything and just sit in his presence and just give him time to just speak to you. So...
yeah, absolutely. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians 13, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, which specific verses stood out? And I know because we talked about it earlier, but, you know, what really stood out to you?
One of the things that stood out was that it said that love does not count wrongs. I'm probably rephrasing that, but it's... I'm such a recovering perfectionist where I count my wrongs. And God's like, I don't count them. Yes, you need to ask for forgiveness. Yes, you need to repent. But in one way, that's such a minor thing. God wants you to focus on his love, his perfectness, not your imperfectness. I heard a saying that God is perfect, and... he's perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. And Satan is imperfect, and he is a perfectionist. And so to really lean on himself being perfect and just wanting a relationship, like comparing it to my relationship with my own earthly father, of my dad does not count my wrongs. He may see my wrongs and may know them, but he looks past them.
Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org.